He's helping us. Yeah, Ezra.
He's
helping us see, yeah, that she's important, like the angels, almost divine. He's helping us see to understand how important Mary is and how important the child she carries is. Okay, let's get back to the story.
She was pregnant and was crying out in birthing pangs, in the agony of giving birth. Then another portent appeared in heaven, a great dragon. The dragon had 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Then the dragon stood before the woman who was about to deliver a child so that he might devour her child as soon as it was born.
Wait a second. Mary with the baby, we remember that from the Christmas story. What do you think is happening here? Do you remember this part of the Christmas story, the Christmas dragon?
No.
Well, remember, Revelation is using these fantastic images to reveal what's really happening. This child, the baby Jesus, is going to change everything. He's going to be the king, but there are powers who don't want him to rule that want to kill him. Maybe you remember something like this. Do you remember this book?
I remember the king who doesn't want Jesus.
Yeah, you remember, Cece?
Angry king.
Do you guys remember this from our Christmas stories?
Hey,
Dad, the angry king? I know, right? That's right. Does anybody remember his name?
Herod.
King Herod, that's right. He tried to kill Jesus right after he was born, after the Magi came and said that they had seen a sign in the heavens about a newborn king. Mary and Joseph had to run away. They fled with Jesus into the wilderness and lived in Egypt until it was safe to come home.
And she gave birth to the son, a child who is to rule all the nations. Her child was taken away to safety, taken to God and to his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon.
Oh, I need my angels. Here we are. Yeah, okay. That's good. Here we go. Get that. This right there. You can go defend him. Oh, here. Here you go. There. Oh, we got some angels. Here you go. Oh, that's okay. Here, I'll get these ones. These ones are a little bigger. I think so too. There we go. Oh, excellent. Go defend Mary against the dragon. Oh, excellent. Pardon them. Michael and the angels coming through. Here, one more. I'll help you out. Everett? Stop. There we go. Oh, yeah.
The war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But they were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. The great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil or Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. So when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he was with great wrath, because he knew that his time is short. So the dragon was angry with the woman and went off to wage war on the rest of her children, those who kept the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
Thank you to our actors for helping this story come to life. You can sit down.
Thanks.
It's the Christmas story revealed. In John's version, King Herod isn't just working evil on his own. Whether he knows it or not, he's working for the dragon. These powers of evil that don't want Jesus to come and change the world. But Mary and Joseph aren't alone either. God and God's angels are at work too. And God
is in control. Now,
if you want to find out what happened next with the dragon, you'll just have to keep watching.
But for now, would you pray with me?
You can repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for the good news of Jesus. And for people like John, who help us understand it better. Amen. You guys can go back to your seats. Thank you so much. You can leave the swords. I'm going to keep them up here, Cyrus. No. That's great. Thank you so much. Thanks for helping. Perfect. Thank you so much for helping out, guys. Great. You can take the rope back to your seat. Well, I promised the kids that I would tell them what happened next to the dragon. So the story goes, then the dragon took his stand on the sand of the seashore, and he called forth a new enemy to wage war against the followers of the child. And behold, I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, and on its horns were 10 crowns, and on its heads were blasphemous names. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And the dragon gave it his power and great, and his throne and great authority. One of its heads seemed to have received a death blow, but its fatal wound had been healed. In amazement, the whole earth followed the beast. They worshipped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who can fight against it?" It opened its mouth to speak blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to wage war against the saints and to conquer them. Here is a call for endurance and faith of the saints. The earth and its inhabitants worshiped the beast whose fatal wound had been healed, and those who would not worship the image of the beast are to be killed. Also, it causes all, both great and small, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be given a brand on the right hand or on the forehead so that no one can buy or sell who does not have the brand, that is, the name of the beast or the number for its name. This calls for wisdom. Let anyone with understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number for a person. Its number is 666. Now that all sounds mysterious and ominous. Usually we assume it's a vision of the future, and we try to understand it that way, trying to crack the code and looking for signs of the beast around us. But what if John is trying to do something else entirely? In chapter 17, when the angel is explaining to him the meaning of another beast with 7 heads, it says, "I will explain to you the mystery of the beast. This calls for a mind with understanding. The 7 heads are 7 hills." Now, to us, that may sound like mumbo jumbo, but to anyone in John's day, the reference was clear. There was only one city with 7 hills: Rome. The beast here, with its 7 heads and 10 crowns, represents the empire that has persecuted the early church, and there was one emperor who terrified them above all: Nero. His persecution of the early church, cruel and unthinkable torture. Nero is dead at the time of John's writing, dead by suicide, but he remained alive in the nightmares of the early church. There were even legends whispered that he would return one day to persecute them again. One of its heads seemed to have received a death blow, but its fatal wound had been healed. This calls for wisdom. Let anyone with understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number for a person. Its number is 666. There are other ancient manuscripts of Revelation that list the number of the beast as 616 instead. Which brings us to math time with Pastor Ben. All right. You see, the Jews didn't have separate letters and numbers like we do. Instead, they used the alphabet as their numbering system. Like this. Their alphabet was Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet. Bob Neff's back there. This is very nervous. Makes me nervous. Hey, what do we got? Vav, Zion, Chet, Tet, Yod. Something like this, right? And Aleph was 1, Beit was 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then when they'd go on from there with Kof, Lamed, Mem, that would be 20. So they got to 10, then all the way up to 100, and then it would be 200, 300, 400, until they ran out of letters with Tav at the end of the alphabet. Now, we have the number of the beast, and it is a name. Kaiser. Caesar. Nerone. Caesar Nerone. Caesar Nero. And these are worth, if you're doing the math at home, 100 points plus 60 points plus 200 points plus 50 points plus 20 points. Oh, sorry, plus 200 points. Got another one of those. Plus 6 points plus 50 points. Who's good at math out there? Bill, you do the figures, I remember. What does that add up to? Close. 360 plus 200, that's 560. 50 and 50, 660 plus 6. 666. Now, you can spell Nero two ways in this, in Aramaic. Nerone or just Nero. Take away 50, and now you add up to the alternate number, 616. To us, it may be obscure, but to John's hearers in the first century, living under Rome, it would have been clear. It's less of a code and more of a revealing, casting the cataclysms of the day in a cosmic light, revealing what's happening behind the scenes. John is speaking against empire and the ways of empire. And it becomes a cry for hope, a cry of hope for those who are afraid. Then I looked, and there was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. Here is a call for endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and hold fast to the faith of Jesus. In a way, then, it's perfectly appropriate for every generation to see in the beast and the dragon our own nightmares, our own fears, our own persecutors. Perhaps our siblings in faith in Nigeria see visions of the beast in Boko Haram. What powers in the world have you afraid these days? John's words then can bring hope to us in the church today too. It's a cry of hope for us too, a call to take courage and to hold fast, for hear what becomes of the dragon and the beast in chapters 19 and 20. Then behold, I saw heaven opened, and there was a white horse. Its rider is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war, and the beast was captured and thrown into the lake of fire. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. I also saw the souls of those who had been killed. Those who had been killed for their testimony to Jesus and for the word of God, and they came back to life. And they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations again for a time. But then the devil too was thrown into the lake of fire where the beast was and where they shall remain forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. And now we come to the turning point in John's vision.
After this, I looked, and there in heaven a door stood open. And the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this."
At once I was in the Spirit, and there in heaven stood a throne, with one seated on the throne. And the one seated there glittered as with precious stones. And around the throne was a rainbow that looked like an emerald. Around the throne there were seated 24 elders dressed in white robes with crowns on their heads. And coming from the throne there were flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder.
In front of the throne there burned seven flaming torches, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. Around the throne and on each side are four living creatures, the first like a lion, the second like an ox. The third living creature had a face like a human, and the fourth like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, day and night, without ceasing, they sing.
Then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll written on the inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I heard a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" But no one in heaven, on earth, or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it.
But then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has overcome so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals."
Then I turned to see the lion and beheld there between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, a lamb, a slaughtered lamb standing. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who was seated on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song.
You are worthy to take the scroll and to break its seals. For you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation.
Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered thousands upon thousands, singing with full voice,
Worthy is the Lamb to receive power and honor and glory and blessing.
Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing,
To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.
And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped.
Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. This is the feast of the Lamb that was slaughtered. We join together with heavenly choirs and the faithful of every time and every place as we gather at this table. Christ prepares this feast and everyone is welcome. You do not have to be a member of the Stone Church of the Brethren or the Church of the Brethren in general in order to share in this communion. Anyone who seeks to turn from sin and toward the promises of God, who longs to embrace the mystery of Christ's living presence among us, is able to fully participate in this time. After a few words of introduction, the deacons, who I'm going to go ahead and invite to come forward at this time, the deacons will pass out the elements to you in your pew. We will begin with the bread, but we ask for you to hold the bread and wait until all have been served so that we can say our unison blessing that's found in the bulletin together before you eat. If you are in need of gluten-free bread, we have it. Janice will be the deacon handing that out. Janice is waving to you. So please just make eye contact with her, wave to her, flag her down, and she will get you what you need. The cup will be passed in the same way, and again, we ask that you please wait until all have been served and we are able to partake in the unison drinking of the cup. We approach the table with thanksgiving for the one who fills creation with light and life, the one who continues to make us new, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We celebrate that it is the Lamb of God who is worthy, and we remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed,